And we are live. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent.
Excellent. All right, let me see if I can mute myself. Okay. So today we thought we would talk about spiritual and religious narcissists, and then, of course, spiritual and religious abuse. So Lise, do you want to start us off? Oh, wait. Before we jump into all of this, make sure you keep an eye on the chat for Huffle Mama. She's one of our mod squads. She's going to share with you all the information on how to connect with us every week on this stream. And we're just going to jump right into our talk. So Lise, do you want to start us off with the definition of spiritual or religious abuse?
Well, a narcissistic person or any toxic person that's manipulating you might use your spirituality against you, your religion, your faith, whatever it is. They might infiltrate into a religious group. A communal narcissist will then get the whole group to believe they're this super spiritual, amazing, wonderful person, but actually behind closed doors, they are abusing someone or manipulating or hurting someone else emotionally in their life. They're using, I mean, that's basically it, right? They use religion, faith, spirituality, your beliefs. It can even go as far as your social beliefs against you.
Yes. Yes. And you know, the people don't realize it, because a lot of times you'll have like a minister of a church, a big church, or a cult leader, or a, you know, someone who you see as an authority figure, could be a family member or not. And this person, I won't mention any specific churches, but there is a specific church that has struck. Thank you, Huffle Mom. There's a specific church that has had some scandals within their ranks, and there were some children involved in these horrible things. There's a few of those, actually. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm not really calling anybody out. But the point is, what happens is you have a leader, and this person, or not even just a leader, it could be a parent who's just very religious, right? Or a spouse, or anyone. And they sort of control you through the dogma of that religion, the traditions, the practices, whatever. And you see this a lot, like, you see a lot of cult leaders. If you can actually take a cult leader, Dana Morningstar first suggested this to me, and it's a great, and I've done videos on it, where you can take a cult leader and a narcissist and draw a lot of parallels, right?
Well, yeah, because a lot of them probably are narcissistic. Yeah.
Well, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. But even in regular churches where they're, you know, healthy, normal churches from the outside, you will see people, whether they're in a minister role or the deacon type role or whatever, or they're just your family member, you mm-hmm. see them controlling people through that. So Lise, have you experienced that yourself?
Not so much personally. I have a lot of people I've talked to who have experienced this. Seen it. Oh, actually I have experienced it personally, but this was more like the communal, the whole group. You couldn't mm-hmm. tell who the perpetrating narcissistic person was. It was the whole group seemed narcissistic and toxic. And if you didn't follow the structure they put down, if you questioned anything, if you had a thought of your own, anything of your own, it was looked upon as like against them. And then it felt very narcissistic to me.
Absolutely.
One thing I do see and have experienced is a toxic person using faith to manipulate through guilt.
Mm.
And using, you know, you're going against the faith or whatever, the spirituality, if you don't agree with them. If you don't, like, say a narcissistic mother, for example, might a religious narcissistic mother might say, well, you know, it says you're supposed to honor your parents and you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that, while at the same time they're being so manipulative, controlling, and toxic to you that there's no way you could do those things. Mm-hmm. You have to go against your own
Absolutely.
Your own safety in order to follow the moral teaching that they're claiming the religion has, which the religion may have that teaching, but they forget their side is also supposed to be a good person and be right. virtuous enough. You know, like it, if they twist it up, they use it as gaslighting is what I'm getting mm-hmm. at. Yeah.
That's so true. And like, here's an example. So I had one client who was in a certain church that didn't approve of divorce, and she was married mm-hmm. to an abuser, like an emotional abuser. He didn't mm-hmm. physically abuse her as far as I'm aware. But because of that, this, she was not allowed to divorce her husband because mm-hmm. she believed so strongly in this particular group's beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time to coach her into, you know, she needed to go and speak to the church leadership about whether she could divorce this. And I certainly would never try to affect anyone's faith negatively. I mean, I know that so many people find comfort in their faith, right? But there's this other side of it that's so, these people coming in under the guise of, you know, we're your religious leaders or your religious, like in certain groups, like the husband is the family religious leader and he does all the things for the, you know, makes the choices for the family or, you know, depending on the circumstances. And in this case, it was just very ugly. So,
well, it's like they use, in that case, a narcissistic husband would use the construct of the religion, which is that the husband is the religious leader, right or wrong. That is the, it doesn't matter what we think about it. It, that is what the people believe who are involved in it. And that right. works for them and it mm-hmm. works for their beliefs. So there's no judgment on that. But the problem is, narcissistic people know how to get themselves into the position of power. So they'll actually yes. seek out the religions that offer that as a method of power. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be going to a religion that said both people are equal.
Right.
That wouldn't work exactly. for them. No. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so you've got to be, that's not to say everyone there is narcissistic, but the narcissistic person, they seek out positions in life, whether it be in religion or in social groups. Mm-hmm. That give them the power.
Right, right. It's ridiculous. And you know, on that same note, you see people using, like you can see entirely, here's where we talk about the communal narcissism stuff, right? Where you see these people using their beliefs to tear down other humans in the world, to express racism and prejudice and all this other nasty, horrible stuff, right? And I won't, again, I'm not going to call out any specific religion because everybody's different and everybody has their, you know, not every group within a particular religion is toxic. There are plenty, I'm sure, of healthy groups out there. So, yeah. Yeah. So I just saw a question from someone. Oh, another thing I want to talk about too is altruistic narcissists.
Oh, yeah. You
find a lot of those people in the church, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So those are people who are, I'm such a good person and I would just give you the shirt off my back. But as long as you recognize them and meet whatever conditions that they will have as a result of whatever favor they're doing for you, mm-hmm. right? So this happened to me once when I left my ex-husband, the narcissist. I had one child at the time and he was just a little child. He was just about 16 months old. Well, I had to get a job, a different job. I had a job where I could take him to work with me at the time, but I wasn't making enough money doing that. So to get a different job. So in that process, I also had to find, of course, daycare. Well, daycare was very expensive, as I'm sure every parent here knows. And I wasn't making enough money to support all of that, plus my house at the time and my ex-husband. He wasn't paying his child support. And even if he was, it wouldn't have been enough to cover daycare anyway.
Right.
So my toxic parent made a deal with me. I'll cover half your daycare as long as you do these things, a list of things that included going to church every week. And in that case, I took the chocolate, as Richard Branson used to say, because I needed her help and I had no other choice as far as I could tell at the time outside of like selling my body, which I didn't think anybody would buy. I'm just kidding about that. But in order to stay afloat and not have to go on any sort of public aid, I did this. And it was not my particular choice of spiritual experiences, but it was not, you know, it was not so traumatic, but it was a situation where I took the chocolate, as like I said. So, and that's not really, is that abuse? No, it wasn't abuse in that case. It was not abuse to make somebody go to church, I guess, but it felt controlling to me because it was not just
it's a piece of the pie, right? It's just a piece of her need to make you go to church, probably a particular church and probably yes. at particular times.
Yes.
So that she could, yeah. So that she could have a presence there that was an extension of her.
Let's just say this. She already had a very large presence there. She was one of the people.
Well, if you weren't there, then it would look like, what's wrong with you that your daughter doesn't even come?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yes. Okay. So there's a lot of different elements here. We've got people in cults. We've got people in regular churches that everybody thinks are healthy, normal churches. And we've got people in families. And we've got people in these little, like, I don't want to call them, like, the different SECTS. That word is hard to say without sounding like you're saying
without sounding like you're saying something else and then having
yes.
it be, yeah.
yes.
dinged. Yes. So. Yeah. Well, and I have talked to so many people in coaching who are involved in communities like yoga or spiritual communities that are not religions per se, but more of a, I thought that the person was out for good and peace and like they're spouting all these amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
How could they be a narcissist?
That's exactly right. I'm so glad you brought that up because that's exactly what we see.
Yeah.
And so often people are just like, how many clients have you had talked to you about that? I mean,
a lot. Like, mm-hmm. and sometimes it comes out peripherally and I'm like, wait a minute, are they involved in it? Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And so now you not only have the emotional abuse from the relationship, but you've had the thing that you're going to support you through. Cause a lot of people go to those type of communities and those types of spiritual mm-hmm. for personal growth. They're not necessarily there for a religion. They're there for personal growth or, they're going through a hard time and that's why they're there. So they're the perfect place for predators to get in and abuse people.
Absolutely. It's unacceptable. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see here. Oops, I just accidentally pushed the wrong button. I hate when I do that. All right. So I think the point is, I would like to ask those who are here live and those who are here watching on the replay, what exactly, if you have personally experienced this, please share as much as you're comfortable. If you have questions, let us know. Let us try to help you. And this could also, you know, provide future, we could talk about it again in a future live stream, or Lisa and I could both make videos about it. Either way, we want to hear your thoughts about spiritual and religious abuse by narcissists or anything like that. Okay. All right. So, okay, here we go. Jack would like to know, how can you talk about how communal covert narcissists manipulate and use religious communities for their abuse?
Oh,
you want to start there?
All day, yeah. They will, well, first of all, they have basically a harem. They have a following within the group because they show up with charisma, with or humbleness, or they look like the perfect person to follow, the person perfect. They don't look like what they are when they are behind closed doors. And so people flock to them. People look up to them. People listen to their side. But I've had clients try to leave people like that, and they have had the entire community turn on them. And these are not churches where you are, when you're out, you're out. These are churches where people come and go. And they've had entire communities turn on them because how could that person possibly be toxic? It must be you. So that's one way
I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, and they're also, here's the thing. They are doing good sometimes.
Right. That's the thing.
They're doing lots of good sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not good in relationships.
Right. There are a couple of famous ministers who did a lot of good in the world, but also, and I'm not going to call
out. Yeah. There's no need to name them because it's everywhere. So yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there are plenty of less famous ones, right?
Yeah. Anyway. It's just, I guess what it is you can't think you know someone by what they look like on the outside and how they present themselves in groups of people.
Mm.
It's how people treat people intimately behind closed doors, and we can't know that. And so if someone comes to you in a group and says, wow, I'm going to divorce this person, they've really hurt me. I mean, yeah. You got to at least let them have their speak, you know, like have their truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree. And I'm going to go on to the next question. Jose says, someone entered my home just because she was a very spiritual friend. But at the end, she resulted in an integrated psychopath that almost destroyed my family. Beware of the wolves wearing sheep's clothing or acting like sheep, he said. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing. That's the hard part of it is when you meet someone like that and they seem so like down to earth and spiritual and loving and all this stuff, it's confusing. As Jack mentions, yeah, predators often disguise themselves this way. I'm here to help so they can get an easier pick up a flock, so to speak. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of them maybe are even doing that to deceive themselves into believing that they are that thing. Right. I think that a lot of people like that who are narcissistic want to believe the mask that they're wearing. They have this moral, how do I word this? It's like, if they can do all these things, then they are that mask that they put on, which is those things. And then all the dirty secret stuff they can do with no one looking.
Right.
And then they can redeem themselves through doing all those good things. It's plausible deniability that we're talking about here, which is what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. So that, yeah.
And that's during your live stream tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm going
to talk about those of you who haven't.
Yeah.
Been over to Lisa's channel yet. It's Lisa Colucci, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Support. And right here in the chat, I believe that Huffle Mom sent a link to that. She will again at the end, and I will, or someone might, and I will also include a link at the end of this video and in the description below. While we're talking about that, really quickly, Lisa, is this something that ever comes up in your group coaching?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, communal narcissism. Yeah, because a lot because people by the time they come in, they're, first of all, people who come into group when they've had this happen are afraid to enter group because groups have turned on them. Then once they realize they're safe and they start talking and they start to see, oh my gosh, this person really did manipulate an entire group of people. Or my church or my, a lot of people with, who have been pushed out of churches, pushed out of religious groups because they are standing up against somebody being toxic to them. And it's usually not the minister. It's usually a partner I've talked to. Yeah.
I think that's really helpful. I think it's usually the partner you said
that I've talked to. Yes. I mean, that's my experience. The person is they're dealing with a toxic partner who's like hi, friends with the pastor, with the, you know, it's not. Ugh. Yeah.
I have a client right now who's going through absolute H-E double hobby sticks with the church that she's been a member of for many years. Her husband passed away. It's a whole thing. I'm not going to go into a bunch of details about her life, but suffice to say that the church ladies have been very unacceptably rude to this woman who, to be fair, lost her husband at a very young age and is very attractive. And I believe they are very threatened by her. Okay. And I feel really upset about this for her, but it's a whole other thing. But anyway, it's ugly.
It's hard. Yeah. I know. And also what can happen is you have, trying to word this, anonymously here. you can have the way a narcissist works in these kind of situations is they'll take a thread of truth to people.
Right.
And then if you say, but wait a minute, this person did X, Y, and Z to me, they will find a moral topic to say you're against.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make, am I making sense? So they'll find a moral topic, an ethical topic, a social topic. It could be anything.
Yes.
It could be, I mean, I can't think of anything. It's too specific in my head. So. You know,
let's say the moral topic is plastic water bottles.
Okay. Yeah. So they will say that you don't stand for you don't stand up for the rights of plastic water bottles because blah, blah, blah. And you're like, wait, this isn't about that. This is about you cheating on me with three women that everybody here knows.
Yes.
And they say, yes, but you know, you don't stand up for the plastic water bottle, and we need to really talk about that. And then all the church people or the group people or the social people in the community think they're doing you a favor by intervening, because you really need to stand up for those plastic water bottles, because the plastic water bottles are really important. It's a really important topic, and it might be, and that's the thing, it probably right. is an important topic. I'm not minimizing those plastic water bottles, but for real. Right. Yeah. So then you're like, well, no, I believe in the plastic water bottles. That's cool. But they're cheating. They're cheating, and they're using the plastic water bottles to get the women, you know,
like, right.
or the right. men, exactly. whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Deflection.
And they deflect, and it twists all the truths. And so, but the people in the community only see, it's like people grab onto the cause. They grab onto the moral meaning, and they don't even see the thing the narcissist did.
And I would tend to bet that there's a lot of that going on in the news right now. We're not going to talk about that
anymore. It is. And people are afraid to stand up against that toxic person.
Yes. 100%. Yes.
They don't want to be on the receiving end.
No. And that's why we're sitting here talking in such generalities on some level too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay. So we have the spiritual badass who says, hello, by the way. I had a horrible experience with a certain church protecting my perpetrator. Oh, the perpetrator who put my life in danger, exposing my whereabouts to my ex and my family, and his family or her family. I offered an easy resolution, but the church sided with the perpetrator instead. It was horrid. This is more common than any of us would like to believe, unfortunately. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways that happens. There's reasons that happens, and it is not your fault. It's the
right.
It's the manipulation. People don't get what gaslighting is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not always just like the minister. It's a lot of, like I was mentioning earlier, church ladies, or it's, you know, it's this group or that group.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like a little high school situation over there.
And almost. Then, yeah. And oftentimes the person at the top, so to speak, the minister, the pastor, the community leader, whatever it is, mm-hmm. they're trying to peacekeep.
Yep.
And they're trying to see both sides and offer, everyone has an opportunity to change. Everyone makes mistakes. They're not thinking narcissists don't change.
Right.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. All right. So let's see. Jack says, I'm very glad it's more places than just here where he is, because he's dealing with similar issues, I guess. And then Bonnie, hey Bonnie, another member of my squad in the house. She says, my dear narcissist mother kept me reading into slavehood for decades, using you should honor your mother, using you should honor your mother as it states in the Bible. I got a lot of that too, my friend, mm-hmm. that too. Mm-hmm. Honor your parents, all this, don't even start me, okay. Not that you shouldn't respect parents who are decent people.
But or not parents, that that's a bad idea, it's or teaching, right. It's just that they have to be good people.
And they're twisting it.
Since, yes. And,
you know, there's, just like I told the lady with the church that wouldn't let her get divorced. I mean, do you honestly think that God would want you to stay in a relationship where you're actively being abused? I mean, I'm just curious, like,
yeah.
you know, because that's, and again, no disrespect to any religion, but I truly don't believe that any God that I've ever heard of would ever want you to be in some sort of Mm-mm. physically or emotionally abusive situation for your whole life. Just my personal opinion. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Jack mentions that he sees the same thing with that spiritual badass mentioned about the same thing happening in his denomination as well. To which spiritual badass replies that they've put 3 years into disciplined counseling education and then the application of everything they've learned to get through it. Hard, but worth it. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. So, hey, help, how are you? Okay. Michelle Frost mentions a specific, I'm not going to mention the name. Y'all can look in the chat if you want to find Michelle's comment, but she says a certain denomination is training narcissists under the guise of a religion. And I will say this about that. Mm. I had an experience, several, but one in high school with someone who was, I thought, my friend, and it turned out, no. Turned out she was trying to convert me, which was very funny considering who I was the child of, but it doesn't matter anyway. Okay. it would have never been a thing. All right. Spiritual Badass says, cults of spirituality, I call it. Yoga light workers, teachers of narcissistic abuse, tarot fraud, fortune tellers, cults of commandments. Okay, so certainly there is a certain amount of that in the community. In fact, we're sort of launching a movement around the narcissistic abuse stuff because, you know, we're working to create some guidelines and best practices for creators, coaches, and therapists with other creators, coaches, and therapists coming soon. But that's all I can do for that. But as far as it goes, you're right. There are so many people out there, even people who are like, you know, MLMs are becoming cult-like even, you know, with the way that they're indoctrinating people and helping them to, well, helping, I shouldn't say that, but a lot of these MLMs are, you know, I'm sure some of you have seen the Lululemon thing that was on the news, or not the news, but the Netflix documentary anyway. I saw some of it, but I got distracted and stopped watching because ADHD, but but it's, yeah. So I don't know, it's everywhere. Any group has the potential to become that way. And that's why we try to be really careful with our boundaries, Lisa and I, as we work with people in that way. Yeah. Thank you for the compliment on the game face, Jack. I'm trying to look less crappy because people have been mentioning that I don't look well, and I'm just fine. I just sometimes don't wear makeup. So, and I'm old. And so when I don't wear makeup and I'm old, it just doesn't look that good. It is what it is.
What we have.
We didn't know about it.
Two old ladies sitting here.
Old ladies, y'all. At least we're cute old ladies or whatever sometimes.
Sometimes.
Some of us.
So we're so well.
Okay, we're good. Woo! I'm not negative. I'm positive. All right. Michelle says, sadly, narcissists love positions where they will encounter vulnerable people.
Oh yeah.
You are so right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. I'm trying to get to the okay. Spiritual Badass says, I don't know the guest name, but I lost three careers to cult spiritualists who destroyed me with their narcissism. That's awful. I can't even imagine. Kung Fu Panda, love your name again. I know I tell you that every time, but here it goes. Says, the narcissist I know is a channeler, oh boy, at a spiritual church who gives messages, oh my gosh, to people they are preying on, then directs them to a meetup they run where other con artists can manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
That is awful. And you know what? Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. I know, I've seen this.
I've seen it too. Yeah, I'm thinking of one in particular. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you'll see it on certain other platforms as well with these, maybe this one too, I don't know about YouTube, but these card readers with their shuffling, and they're not as bad as the ones who are, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not anti anyone. I mean, that's all. Again, here I am tiptoeing and walking on eggshells.
I know, it's hard. Well, not that one. Nope.
We're not going to watch it because it's not that I'm anti anything. You know what I'm saying? There's no one group that I'm like, I hate that group. Never.
Well, I mean, I guess what can you do if you're in, how do you know? What do you do? Like, you don't want to be afraid to go to church. You don't want to be afraid to be in a community. It's
right.
One thing I had happen once, and I did remember that I did actually have this happen in a church type setting, mm-hmm. where the person I was talking to was somebody that offered a teaching of the religion. So they were high enough to be someone you're supposed to be able to look up to, and you're supposed to be able to trust. All right. And I always question everyone, but I was questioning and they would make comments like, do as I say, don't watch my actions. And I'm like, okay, they know. And then so finally I realized they know that something's wrong with them. But the thing is, their teaching, their understanding of this religion was spot on. They had it down. So what I had to do to stay safe was get the information and stay away from the person.
Yeah.
And then find somebody else to, you know, to talk to instead of that person.
100%.
Does that make, you know, like you have, it's there, people are going to be there. We can't run away all the time from this. Yeah.
Right. Here's something else that you can do. And I think this is really helpful. I noticed Hope mentioned something about the church being, that she was attending, being uncomfortable with her sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I really struggle with that, but I do know this, Hope. I know there are denominations out there who are very accepting and loving no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to suggest to you that if you want to go to church, look at a different church.
Yep.
I know, and I'm not trying to call out any specific one, but I know that one that does very openly and even has homosexual ministers is United Church of Christ. But I'm not in any way endorsing that church or negatively talking about that church.
I'm just an example of one. It's an example of one denomination that offers
that accepts
and loving right. of all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of right. They don't have any. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I have about 3 more minutes. Let's see here. But with that being said, please.
Yes.
Do you have anything else to say about this before we wrap up?
About the whole topic?
Yeah, like because we're running out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah, so not without a question.
Okay, let me just say this. Guys, we are unfortunately on a short time today because we have, I have a call in 5 minutes with a client. But 2 things. Number 1, hi Ted Berry. Number 2, if you will please leave your thoughts here in this chat or after the video goes live in the comments below about your questions, your comments, your ideas, anything you want us to talk about regarding this topic or even another topic, we can definitely revisit this here in a live stream or make new videos about it. So, and I also have some existing videos. Do you have any existing videos on this topic, Lise?
A couple, I think.
Okay. Maybe. All right. So I wish I could stay longer. Okay, guys, let me say this to you also. Lise offers group coaching and it's much less expensive than one-on-one. So if anybody's interested in that, reach out to her or go to queenbeing.com/groups. You can also go to queenbeing.com/Lise to learn more about her and her one-on-one stuff. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, let us know. Otherwise, we will see you next Tuesday. I should have a new video for you tomorrow. Lise has a live stream tomorrow. Around what time do you know yet?
I do not know. I haven't looked at my calendar yet. Tomorrow.
Okay, so make sure that you sign up for her.
A couple more this week. So.
Okay, a couple more coming from Lise this week. Make sure you go over and you subscribe to her channel and hit the bell notification. And Helpful Mom, if she hasn't yet, she did at the beginning of the stream. She'll put in our text message information. I can't talk. So that you can be sure to sign up for text as a backup to show up, you know, to the YouTube notifications that are sometimes a little wonky. Okay. Thank you all for showing up today and being here with us. Thank you for sharing yourselves with us. We really appreciate you. And as always, thanks for being part of our day. All right. Lise, I'll see you soon.
See you
everybody
soon.
Else, I'll see you next week and tomorrow in a video. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.